It's always a pleasure to welcome to the program the state senator from Meriden, Len Susio. Senator, welcome to CT on the Hill.
It's great to be on your show this morning, Dan.
Now, you had a real big turnout for veterans in this effort to supplement, actually, not supplement in a sense, but try and replenish this account so that there can be rifle salutes at veterans' funerals. You had a big turnout at the Transportation Committee hearing on Monday. How about telling our audience about that?
It was awesome, Dan, and I have to thank you and Brad personally because I know you guys played a role in making certain that veterans around the state were aware of this Senate Bill 76, the bill I proposed, which would defund this tax, study on this mileage tax, and take the money and hopefully use it to replenish the burial fund account for the veterans. And it was awesome. It was standing room only. It was the hearing room was packed. I think everybody was taken aback, and there were veterans everywhere. And I was really proud of the moment, too. Our vets came forward and expressed their opinion, and I can tell you it's had an impact. It shows you that when you stand up for what's right, you can make a difference. And I'm just so proud of the great showing we have from our veterans at this hearing on Monday.
Now, were any decisions made at the hearing or just an opportunity for people to speak?
Well, the normal process for a bill when it goes through the legislature is to have a committee review it, approve it for public hearings, and then after that, there'll be the chairs of the committee will have to make a decision about what bills will be debated and discussed for passing through the committee and then going on through the normal legislative process. So, right now, the decision hasn't been made about whether there'll be debate and discussion about the bill. So that's why, and I'm glad we're talking about this. It's very important for all of your listeners, even though the hearing was on Monday, they still will accept public testimony. So if anyone wants to send an email to the legislature, to the Transportation Committee saying, I support Senate Bill 76, that still can influence a lot of members on the Transportation Committee. Also, I would urge any of your listeners to contact their local state rep or their state senator and to encourage them to co-sponsor the bill, Senate Bill 76, because the more sponsors there are, the greater the likelihood it'll continue to move forward through the legislature. So even though your listeners might have missed the opportunity to show up for the public hearing, it's not too late for them to have an effect. And I urge them again to email or write the Transportation Committee about Senate Bill 76 and to call their legislator.
Okay, this is an education for us, Senator, as to how the process works. Because how did it work on Monday whereby we are going to get conversation as far as state tolls are concerned? Is there going to be a hearing on that? Is it going to be actually voted on? Where does that stand?
Yeah, there's, and you know, now Dan, you've hit upon a subject in which I think there's a lot of confusion, even among legislators. And if I have a minute, I could try to educate your audience a little bit more and make certain we can clarify the issues. There's, the Federal Highway Act, has a section in it that prohibits putting tolls on roads that have been funded by the Federal Highway Act funds. So that would apply to I-91, I-84, I-95, for example. There's a prohibition of putting any kind of tolls on those roads. There are some exceptions, however, and that's what you've got to be aware of. One of the exceptions is if you add a lane or you build a totally new road, you can put a toll on that added lane or you can put a toll on that new road. That's one exception. Another is what they call congestion pricing, where you can put electronic devices that will determine what time of day you pass through a particular area, and the state is allowed to charge differential rates depending on the time of day in which you're traveling, let's say, into Hartford or through Hartford. The whole idea is to try to affect traffic patterns. Those are two exceptions which are permitted under the Federal Highway Act, but there is nothing really permitted in terms of the traditional toll, the way you and I and your audience would think of a toll, like the ones that used to be on 95, for example, even electronic tolls like, you know, the Easy Pass stuff. Those are really not allowed unless you're going to risk forfeiting all the federal money that's been used to build those roads in the first place. So traditional tolls are not a legitimate or viable option under the Federal Highway Act.
Well, this is very fascinating to me because we had the co-chair of the Transportation Committee on this program the other day, Representative Tony Guerrero from Rocky Hill, and he seemed to indicate, he came right out and said he's done his checking and we wouldn't have to forfeit the money that we've already been given by the federal government if we instituted tolls, nor would we have to pay down the road in the future if we instituted tolls.
Well, I have a great respect for Chairman Guerrero. He's by the way, a strong supporter of veterans, too. And he's fair-minded and even-handed the way he runs the committee. But I think what he might have been referring to are these exceptions that we were just talking about that, you know, definitely you can apply for. They're called pilot programs, actually, where you can do this, the tolls for congestion pricing purposes or tolls on added lanes in the highways. And I believe that's probably what he might have been referring to. Now, that you can apply for a waiver of the penalty or the forfeiture of the federal funds, but to the best of my knowledge, that's never been approved. Rhode Island tried to get approval last year for putting tolls on I-95 as you go to Rhode Island, and it was denied. So I don't think that's going to, I don't think that's changed at all.
Well, I'm just wondering, could the state get around this if people really, if the lawmakers' majority really want tolls, can they get around it by just declaring congestion pricing for the entire state because the roads are always congested 24/7?
Well, you never know. I mean, that's theoretically, that's possible. It's a lot more difficult, a lot more sophisticated than just a toll for 50 cents or a buck when you go through the area. It's going to have to involve much more sophisticated systems and equipment. And, you know, Massachusetts just went to one of these photographic type of arrangements, but where you don't even have easy pass anymore. You don't need to have easy pass anymore anyways, let's put it that way. So, and don't forget too, Dan, that you're talking about even with electronic tolls, not the old toll booths, it's going to take time and years before you can really get that stuff up and running. So, I just don't, it's not a panacea, and it's certainly not an immediate issue to the real immediate problem that we have, that they've raided the highway, the special transportation fund so much over all these years that the money that should have been spent on roads and bridge repair was going into the general fund. And now it's just like the pension fund problem that we had. We basically abused the situation so much, and the problem is now accumulated to the point where it's becoming a crisis. And they're saying, well, we've got to have new taxes or we've got to do, you know, tolls. It's because we didn't retain the money that's collected through our gas taxes for the purpose it was intended, which is road and bridge repair. And by the way, too, Dan, Connecticut has some of the highest gas taxes around because we're one of the few states that have two taxes on gas. We have the normal excise tax, which is 25 cents a gallon, but we have that petroleum gross receipts tax, which I made a big issue when I was in the legislature a few years ago, which is a percentage of the wholesale price. So as the price of gas goes up, the tax itself is increasing. It's not fixed at a certain price per gallon. And when gas is pushing $4 a gallon back about 4 years ago, the state was collecting more in the petroleum gross receipts tax than it was in the excise tax, the standard tax everybody thinks about. We're getting a windfall of tens of millions of dollars at just the wrong time. When Connecticut families were paying the highest prices for gas, we were exacerbating that situation because of the petroleum gross receipts tax itself was growing as a, you know, because it's based on the price itself.
Now, Senator, what I find interesting, and we're talking to State Senator Len Susio, this effort by you to defend this mileage study being taxed by the mile, the Democrats once again are defending the study, even though they're insistent that this is never, ever going to be instituted in Connecticut. What are we to make of this?
Well, I've always said actions speak louder than words, and Dan, I could tell you the study which Commissioner Redeker signed up for, he signed a letter May 18th last year, 2016, and the goal of the study are to determine how to implement the tax and how to convince the public to accept the tax. In other words, the whole point of the study is based on that you've already made the decision you're going to implement the tax, and it's just a question of how you're going to do it. So it's not a study about the pros and cons of this tax. It's a study about how to get it going.
Now, again, for people who want to know, SB 76, what they have to do to move this forward is to do what?
What they would do is, number one, basically they could email or call the Transportation Committee at the legislature and tell them that they support passage of Senate Bill 76 and they would like to see a vote on it. And number two, they can contact their local state legislator. So I happen to represent District 13, which is Cheshire, Meriden, Middlefield, and Middletown. But many of your listeners, of course, are a much larger audience than that. And they can contact their local state senator and their local state rep and say, hey, we support Senate Bill 76. I encourage you to co-sponsor the bill with Senator Susio and call for a debate and vote on the passage of the bill.
Now, while we have you here, before we wrap up our interview, we're all aware of the fact that the state over the next 2 years is eyeballing a $3 billion deficit. But now the state comptroller is announcing today, Senator, that our current budget, which supposedly after the attorney general had cut this deal with, I think it was Moody's or one of these places.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we were going to have this big surplus, and now he's announcing the projected surplus for the current fiscal year is down to $8.7 million. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, unfortunately, all the news for the last 6 years has been bad news as far as the budget's concerned. You start out with X, and you always end up with it getting worse. Every year since Governor Moy's become governor of the state, they built these budgets on unrealistic assumptions regarding revenue collection in particular. We've had the two biggest tax increases in the history of the state since the governor entered office in 2011, and we're looking, ironically, Dan, we're looking at a deficit that's just about as large as the deficit he himself inherited, but this is after two gigantic tax increases. So the tax increases haven't done the job. We're going to have to face the 900-pound gorilla in the closet. We've got to basically face the fact that it's a spending problem, not a revenue problem, and the way to solve it is to cut spending, not to add more taxes to our already oppressed taxpayers.
What about renegotiating with the unions? I mean, is that the only way we're going to be able to solve this in addition to cuts?
Well, that's a critical part of it, Dan. And as you know, there was the big vote yesterday about the pension deal and the restructuring of the pension deal. And I used to work in the banking world where we work with companies all the time. And periodically, every company gets into trouble. It's just part of the economic cycle. And what we would do is when we had a company got into trouble, we would be willing to help them through those difficult times by doing what they call a troubled debt restructure. And doing something like that for Connecticut, both with respect to the pension funds and Connecticut's funded debt, would be appropriate, but only if there's an overall plan to get Connecticut back on its feet. That's the same thing we did with companies. We'd say, look, we'll work with you. We'll help you through this difficult time. But you've got to show us you've got a game plan that's permanently going to put the company back on its feet. That hasn't happened right now. And that's why I voted against the adjustment of the pension payments yesterday. I publicly thanked the state employees for the fact that they were willing to, in effect, be taken advantage of again in the sense of deferring contributions to their retirement security, but it's only a piecemeal solution, and you can't solve problems like this with a piecemeal solution. You've got to address the problem in its entirety, and that involves not only cutting spending, it also involves making Connecticut a lot more hospitable for businesses to come here and grow here, and we've made Connecticut a hostile state for businesses. We've accepted a few companies with Moy's First Five program, and we give away hundreds of millions of dollars to hedge funds. But when it comes to, we've got to make Connecticut business friendly to every business. We have 88,000 businesses registered to do business in the state of Connecticut. 87,000 of them employ 100 or fewer people, and they employ more than half the working population of Connecticut. We've got to make Connecticut business friendly and get our economy going again. That's the best way out of it, but that's going to take a few more years. In the meantime, it is going to have to be a cut in spending that's going to balance our budget until we can get our economy rolling again and make Connecticut a much more business-friendly state.
Senator, we better hurry up because Boston is on the line to Aetna right now, perhaps, as we speak.
isn't it frightening? I mean, everybody's, the vultures are circling the body, and we've got to get Connecticut back on its feet again. And Dan, I can't say too strongly, we are not in a crisis. We're in an unfolding catastrophe as far as the state budget's concerned. And the sooner we address it, that's why, again, I didn't vote for this bill the other day, because it was only a piecemeal solution. And we've got to attack the real underlying problems now. The longer it takes to enact the resolution, the more painful it's going to be, the more bitter the medicine. We've got to confront the problem now, not wait for another year or two with these gimmicks to buy time. The time to answer and address the problem and the crisis is now.
Okay, Senator, thanks very much for spending some time with us, and I will be giving that Transportation Committee telephone number out shortly so people can call and express support for SB 76.
Well, you know what, Dan? I'll have one of my aides email to you the email address, too, if any of your listeners want to email their support for SB 76. We'll make sure you've got that, too.
That's great. Thanks, Senator. Have a great day.
And you too, Dan. Take care.